We're going to learn this morning in the Word of God here how to lovingly restore a believer when he has fallen, she has fallen into sin.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello again, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Restore Such a One, from his study in the New Testament epistle of Galatians. Now here's Pastor.
What happened with the, God said, he's a man after my own heart. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. It only took one look. There he was. He should have been out with Joab and the rest of the guys fighting, Uriah and all the rest of them. But they were. He stayed back at the palace in the springtime of the year. There he goes. He takes just a leisurely stroll. He wasn't planning on breaking the seventh commandment, adultery, was he? He looked down and there was a lady taking a bath named Bathsheba outside. He goes, and you know what the story is called, go get her. I want to talk to her. Yeah, you do, David. You're going to get in a lot of trouble. Listen, David should have never done that. Peter, oh, Lord, I tell you what, these crummy guys that you've picked, they may deny you, but I'll never deny you. Boy, that's confidence, isn't it? No, did he deny the Lord? Absolutely, he did. See, you have to beware of those things, Christian. Now look at verse 2. It says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the law of Christ is love, and to fulfill, that word means fulfill the requirements, if you will, or satisfy the requirements. Now, listen, verse 2 is a command in the Greek. It's in the imperative. So it uses that word there, the word carry, okay? It says to bear. That word means to carry, all right? So carry one another's burdens. Now, the word burden literally means an oppressive weight, an excessive heavy, heavy load. So it says, you who are spiritual, these people are burdened. You know, you got to help them. You got to help carry the load that they're carrying. That's what we are to do. And let me tell you something. When a person has sinned and they go and they say, I've sinned before God. Sin is a heavy weight. It bears down on those who love the Lord. It hurts you. It bears down upon you. So those who are spiritual, we never increase someone's burden. Amen? We make whatever burden they are carrying, we're going to carry it with them so we can make it lighter. And so I was reading a story yesterday afternoon when I arrived home from the BBC there in London. It was from a newscast in Singapore. It was about a lady, or I should say a nun, and for 40 years of her life, she worked and labored in Singapore's worst prison system. And everyone in that prison, they were all sentenced to death by hanging, okay? And here's what she said. She said, you know, death row inmates need a lot of mental and emotional and spiritual support. She said, I wanted to help them understand that with forgiveness and healing, they would then be able to go to a better place. And she says, one convict from his cell asked her one day, said, listen, as he was getting ready to go be hanged, he said, I'm going to be hung tomorrow, and I want you to be with me. And she said, you know, for someone to share their deepest sorrows and allow me into their hearts during their final moments, that's love. That is love, isn't it? She said, I remember his last words as we were walking to the gallows where he was to face death. He looked at her and said, I'm going to see God this morning, because she had led him to the Lord. Said, I'm going to see God this morning. And she said, and when I do, I'm going to tell him all about you. You know, when we carry one another's burdens, amen? That's what this is all about. Can you imagine how many people that she has walked to death row? And I mean, that is such a final moment, loved one. You know, and when we do this, you know what happens when we carry that kind of a burden or any kind of burden from those that are hurting? You know what? We now fulfill the law of Christ. And that's why that scripture is so important. And only the law of Christ, which is the love of God in us, will restore people or carry others' burdens. You know, we've already learned that the whole law stands fulfilled or obeyed in one word, and that word is love. To love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? I don't need to go through all the scriptures that faith worketh by love. We've already covered all of that. We don't need to say that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22, we've covered all that. We know. We know if this church doesn't know John 13:34 and 35, you are in trouble. In other words, we're the new commandment that Jesus has given unto us, that we love one another just as he's loved us. Amen? Yes, the whole world will know you're my disciples, Jesus said, when you love one another after that manner. The Bible says in Romans 13:10 that love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. But here's the deal. Legalists always add to the burden. They never carry the burden. They put burden after burden upon you. They make you try to earn God's forgiveness and earn God's love because look what you've done. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23:4. He said to the Pharisees, the legalists, and all of them, he said, oh, they bind heavy burdens too hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift or will not move them with one of their fingers. See, a legalist can't restore because a legalist is always a taskmaster. They are never a burden bearer. In a few weeks, all of us, we're going to be gathered on the 5th and maybe the 6th and maybe the 7th, depending on how big the crowd. Loved one, you know what we're going to do? We're going to meet people that are burdened. You should be answering the telephones here as they call in to RSVP for Candy Cane Christmas. How the prayers, it's all constant prayer all day long for these ladies that are suffering so. The things that are going, what we're going to do just for a second is we're going to carry just a little bit of their burden and let them know when they leave here that they are loved by God, they're loved by Jesus, and they're loved by this church. Amen? That's what we're going to be doing. Now look at the next verse, Galatians 6:3. It says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, self-deception. I like that. Something when he is nothing. In other words, when a person thinks that he is super uno, you know. In other words, remember Nacho Libre? Ramesses, your eyes are number one. Your lips are, never mind. Your muscles are number one. No, see, when people think they're way up there, they're really a zero, except in their own estimation, okay? No. Listen, they're too important to shoulder the load, too important to care if someone needs restoration or not. They're just totally deceived, and they'll never operate in the law of Christ. I remember, you probably remember old Chuck Swindoll. Remember, he wrote so many great books there in, what, the 80s and 90s, I believe it was. You know what Chuck Swindoll said about importance? Let me read it to you. He says, you want to know how important you are? Stick your finger into a bucket of water, pull it out, and see how long it takes to fill the hole. This side didn't get it, so don't worry about it. Now, verse 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Examine your own heart. Try your own heart. Test your own heart. That's what Paul is saying. Why? He wants, in other words, look at your own conduct. You don't ever feel spiritual because he fell or she fell and you feel superior. That's what Paul is saying right here. He says, no, it is a dangerous thing to compare yourself, loved one. Man, and you better take a self-exam. You know, and we look at our own life. Amen? That's exactly what Paul is saying. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector, the parable that Jesus taught in Luke's Gospel 18:11. He said this, the Pharisee, he stood up and prayed thus with himself. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Oh, or I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm a Democrat, Lord. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, Jesus said, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, someone asked me a question after the first service, and they said, Bill, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I said, where do you think legalists go when they fall? And I said, I'm going to use that in the second service. And then, but see, I know where they go. I know when they fall, you know what happens to them? Jesus told us, you ready for this? Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest ye be judged. The word judge is krino in the Greek. It means to become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. You pass sentence. Jesus said, oh no, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. For with the judgment that you measure out to others, it's going to be measured right back to you. And Jesus continues and he says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? In other words, you have a little piece of sawdust here and the other guy has a 2x4 sticking out of his eye. He says, how can you say to your brother, oh, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye, you hypocrite. First remove the plank from your eye. You get right with God. You do what's right. You move that plank from your own eye, and then, and may I say, and only then will you see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Loved one, specks are only removed by the love of Christ, the love of Christ in you. Never, ever look down on anyone unless you are willing to pick that person up. Amen? That's what we need to know. Verse 5, very important verse, by the way. For each one, that's every believer here and back then, for each one shall bear his own what? His own private load. Now listen, if you use the King James Bible, which is actually my favorite Bible, and I use the New King James when teaching because it's easier to teach by, but the thing is, there's not a contradiction, and a lot of people think there is a contradiction between verse 2 and verse 5, because in the King James Version, verse 2, of course, is a burden, and then here in verse 5, it's also burden. But the correct translation for that, the New King James does it right, the word is load. So there are burdens that can be shared. That's verse 2. Amen? But in verse 5, there are loads or burdens, whichever you want to use, that can never be shared. Very, very important verse. The word load there is a picture of a cargo ship carrying a cargo. Or I love word study. So if you look it up in the Greek and do a word study on that word load, you'll find that it's also used as a woman who is with child, carrying the child, of course, in her womb. And only she can carry that child, amen? So can anyone else carry that child for her? No. So each one must bear his own load alone. That's what this scripture right here is teaching. Now, J.B. Phillips' translation does a great job of it, where he says this, for every man must shoulder his own pack. In other words, like a soldier's pack, okay? And he must do it or carry it alone. Dr. Funk of Funk and Wagnalls Dictionary, remember him? You know, he said, he was a master of the English language, by the way. He said that the saddest word in the English language is alone. Right here it says you must carry this burden or this load, each one of us, by ourselves. That's a tragic word, isn't it? Listen, you know, we suffer alone, don't we? If you're in the hospital and I come and see you and I'm well, I'm not suffering. I'm hurting for you. If one suffers, we all suffer. Amen? But the fact is, I don't feel what you're feeling. I see it in you. I know you're experiencing it. It hurts me. It grieves me. I hate it, but I can't carry it for you. You can only bear that suffering yourself alone. Amen? And there's something else we have to suffer alone and be alone, and that is our death. I can't die for you. And you can't die for me. Amen? That's right. You know, we will all die alone. Now, let me preface. I'll say something different about that in a moment. Thomas Hobbes, who's an agnostic, said this. Right before he died, he said, I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark. And then he cried out, oh God, it is so lonely. What a horrible thing to say. You know, verse 5 is one of the most debated, verse 5 and 2, most debated verses in Galatians. A lot of debate on what does verse 5 really mean, because in the way it's translated. You know, are we ever alone? No. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the... Amen. No, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold upon you. Never. So what is Paul really... What is he saying right here? Yes, we're going to die alone, but are we really going to die alone? No, we're not going to die alone. Psalm 48, I don't forget what verse, but it says, even God, who is our guide, even into death. David cried out, one of the greatest psalms ever written, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me, you are always with me, in other words, amen? For thou art with me. We're not alone to be absent from the body, to be present of the Lord. Jesus has already tasted our death, amen? So we're not alone at death. There's no way we're alone at death. So what is Paul talking about here? What does the Bible say about death? One more scripture. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He says, precious. God says, it's precious. I'm right there. Oh, I see you. I know how you're going to go. I know that calendar moment. It's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Oh, I'm getting ready to take you home. I'm taking you to a place that I have prepared for you. You are never, ever, ever alone. Jesus, he came with you. He's going home with you. You're going to go home tonight maybe and have a good night's sleep, you know, and get up and complain about daylight savings time in the morning. You understand? Or whatnot. Before, you know what? While you're sleeping, the one who never sleeps or never slumbers, he's right there watching you. He's there with you. He's with you always. And not only that, do we bear our burdens alone, loved one? No. I'll tell you, there's some of the times I've had some burdens, as you have, in my life that I didn't think I could bear. Oh no, loved one, listen, I never bear them alone because Jesus Christ, he is our burden bearer. He daily bears our burden. He knows everything that we're going through. He's the lifter of my head, amen? He's the lifter of your head. The Bible says about our burdens that we have, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all of our care, our burdens, or whatever's weighing us down on the Lord, for he careth for you. Oh no. God is so good. Jesus, you know what Jesus tells us to do? With that load that we sometimes carry, he says, give me your load and take my load. Give me your burden and take my burden. Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me all who labor. In other words, you're beat down, you're exhausted. He says, and are heavy laden. Boy, that is a big load, especially if it's sin. And I'll give you rest. And then he gives a command. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. And here it comes. For my yoke is what? Easy. His yoke is so easy. And my burden, the Lord says, is light. Did you know that take my yoke again is a command? He says, come. He said, let's exchange yokes. I take yours, you take mine. Why don't you learn from me? I'm gentle. The only description of the Bible that Jesus gives of himself, I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. You can come to me. Oh, my burden, it's just light. My yoke, it's just so easy. Come on, travel with me. Let me help you. That's what the Lord teaches us to do. We have so many voices today that says, come this way and I can give you rest, or come this way and you won't be hurting anymore. No, there's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, listen. No, God is so good. And you say, well, Bill, you didn't really explain verse 5, did you? No, but I'm going to. I believe with all of my heart, and here's what I challenge the first service, and I'm going to challenge you. You do a word study. I want you to break down every Greek word, every word in the Greek, and do a study in verse 5. Compare it to verse 2, and then about burdens, and then compare it also to verse 5 and 2, I mean. Now, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find when Paul said that, let me read it to you again. He said that each one, what did he say? Each one, for each one shall bear his own load. What does he mean? Because it's almost a contradiction of Scripture, isn't it? Are you with me? Okay, so what is he talking about? Well, here's the deal. He's talking there, in the Greek, it's like a future tense that you do this load, each one will bear, but it's all the way into the future. So what is he talking about? He's saying this, that each one of us, one day, we're going to depart this world. And when we do, we're going to stand before the Lord and give account, amen, of everything that we've done in this body, whether good or bad. We're going to give an account of our stewardship to Him, that the gifts and all the things He's entrusted, our marriages, our children, everything. We're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account in that day. Everyone, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the place of rewards, not being judged for our sins. I can't stand in your place there. You can't stand in my place there, amen? I promise you that Peter and Paul, when they got to heaven and Peter stood before the Lord, he didn't explain Paul's life. Amen? No, and I won't explain your life, but I will stand before him and give an account of my life. Why didn't you do that, Bill? Well, Lord, I equip you to do that. Why didn't you obey my voice? Look what you missed. Look what you missed. Look what could have happened. Look at my plan I had for you. You missed it because you weren't being led by the Spirit. You were being led by that old man. You let fear come in and rob what I had. Loved one, listen. You know what God says? I love it. Isaiah. He says, you know what? Come now. Come right this minute. He says, and let us reason together. Let us talk it over. Let's talk about your sin. Man, let me take it because I'm going to make it whiter than snow. Amen? That's what God does. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you're going, you know what, Bill? I'm in trouble. I'm just in trouble. I feel so far away from God, and I know that I slipped up. Why don't you just say, you know what? Okay, I slipped up. I slipped up. But why don't you say, but now I'm going to cover that slip with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to live in what might have been, could have been, or should have been. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to live right now for Christ all over again. Amen? He gives you a new beginning each and every morning. When we come to the Lord, if we've sinned, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, this morning we thank you that we've learned how to restore those who have slipped into sin, whatever it might be. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, as every Christian is praying and every eye is closed, if Christian, listen to me, if you slipped up in any kind of trespass and you're going, Bill, I just blew it. I blew it so bad, so big. I'm so unworthy. Why don't we give it to the Lord right this minute? And you walk out of here with your heart and your head lifted to heaven, rejoicing. So if that's you, no one getting out of their chairs, no one coming to the altar, a private moment, you say, Bill, that's me. Just lift your hand to the Lord and put it right. Yes, 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 God bless you. Put it in. Yes, God bless you, God bless you. Yes, 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 thank you, God bless you. There's no one like you, Lord. You just saw the hands of your sheep, which signified their faith. They reached it to heaven, to you, to the throne of grace, whatever it is. However they slipped up, however they fell back, however sin caught them and surprised them and they thought they were stronger, but they weren't. Right now, Lord, I lift them to the throne of grace, the place of mercy and help, the place where we can obtain it in time of need. Lord, their hearts said, forgive me. So Lord, wash them, cleanse them, and let that slip up be as far as the east is from the west, to never rise up and torment them again. And Father, if there be any people here this morning, they've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. If you're here and you want Jesus to save you and cleanse you, would you just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved. If there's anyone here, just lift your hand, put it right back down. Well, Father, I conclude this morning that we're all safe. We're all secure. We all belong to the kingdom of God, and I give you praise for that. Now, Lord, bless those that lifted their hands. They just got right again. They just got right with you again. Bless them abundantly. Bless them. Just bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we all say, amen.
We appreciate you listening with us today, and we want to remind you that Pastor's study in Galatians continues on our next broadcast, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Amen? Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org.
or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.